Before we start study, we need to pray for this young girl, 4-month-old baby girl, Alyssa, and had a head injury, and 22-year-old mother. They had a vehicle roll over on I-8. Gentleman who came here today with a bunch of apparel, the Calvary Chapel apparel, he's also Tucson Fire Department firefighters. And he and I go way back how many years? 10-some years? You know, he's a good man of God, and this is something he felt that he's called to do, and now he's being a firefighter. And he's on the way home from Phoenix area, he was the first one to be at the scene. Anyway, they had to evacuate, take her to the hospital by helicopter. So let's pray for Alyssa and the mother. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne, and because you are merciful God and you are compassionate God, there's nothing is impossible for you. We are asking you, you're willing, this baby, 4-month-old baby, to be healed completely without any damage in her brain. And also comfort the mother who just had this traumatic car accident. And whoever is involved, comfort them and heal them, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start. As I previously mentioned about my childhood sports inability, I was tall, skinny dog. And when I was growing up, and I didn't know where I should fit in. Naturally, that means I became an easy prey of the school bullies. So I had a 3-year-old brother who was very smart at the time and is still smart. As a matter of fact, some of you know that he's a neurosurgeon of the major medical center in Seoul, Korea. And then, of course, you're thinking, what happened to you? That's beside the point. That's not what I'm talking about. Point is that because he was 3 years older than me, I had the tendency to run to his classroom whenever a school bully come, tried to make up close personal contact with me. Somehow I thought he's able to protect me. As the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an older brother. That older brother is so powerful and so dominating. As a matter of fact, he created the entire universe with a command. And he holds everything together by his will, by his power. If that's not enough, the Father in heaven, we can call him our daddy. Let's go to Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. And if children, then the heirs of God, joint heir with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we are adopted children of Jesus Christ, the Father in heaven, because of Jesus Christ. We are no longer called as a servant, but we are the brothers, and we are his friend, and mostly, we are the joint heir with Jesus Christ. The scene we are about to get a glimpse is right after the major idol worship shenanigan the Israeli people pulled while Moses was in the Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. They got antsy and they decided they're going to worship this idol. And they pulled this idolatry in the middle of the desert. However, when God allowed Moses to come down, and he used the Levites to kill 3,000 people, it was rather rude awakening for the idolatrous Israeli people. God is telling Moses that he had with these people, and he will not go with them into the land of milk and honey. He will allow them to go in, but he will not go with them. Again, Moses pled for God's mercy, and that he may extend His grace to these people, go with them. Moses knew that it's better for them to stay where they are instead of going into promised land without the presence of God. I'm praying and hoping that all of us to understand without presence of God, we are literally nothing. We must be with Him and instead of trying to do the things with our own strength. So let's go back to the Exodus chapter 33, verse 1. That's where we're going to study. And we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You with thanksgiving in our heart and praise on our lips. We are seeking You and to find Your will, to find a favor in Your sight. Teach us that we may never depart from Your presence, never reject Your presence from our heart. Lord, we also lift up our troops around the world. We're asking You to watch over them, keep them safe, and You willing, bring them back to their families, their homes soon. We also pray for the law enforcement and firefighters around these communities and asking You to keep Your watchful eyes on them and protect the hedge around them and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendant I will give it. And I will send my angels before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land of flowing with the milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest that I consume you on the way, for you are stiff-necked people. After sin of a golden calf, worshiping this golden calf, God did not deny His protection for the Israeli people. He denied that His their destination to the promised land. However, He denied that He would His presence in the midst of them. Pretty much this is what the God says. Essentially, I'm done with you. I will not go with you because if I'm staying with you, I'll wipe you out. When God says, He means it. However, God told them that they could have a promised land, but God would not remain with them in personal and close way. If they satisfied with, okay, you allowed us to go into the land of milk and honey, but you don't come with us, that's fine. If that is their attitude, they are looking for the blessing of God only. Gift of God only, not gift giver. But if they said, no, if you don't go with us, we will stay where we are because your presence is important to us, that is the first step to repent and come to the presence of God as start of the revival. Folks, listen up, please. Even if we have all the blessing that comes from God, if we don't have Him with us, what is the value of that blessings? What is the value of the gift of the Holy Spirit that we can have? Heaven is not heaven because the place is beautiful and wonderful beyond words. Heaven is heaven because God is there. Hell is not hell because it's a tormenting it's a miserable place beyond word. Hell is hell because God is not there. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. This chapter is known as I am the vine, you are the branch chapter. Of course it is. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. A psalmist echoed this thing in Psalm 84, verse 10. Psalm 84, verse 10. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in your court is better than thousands. I would rather be a doorkeeper of the house of my God and than dwell in the tent of the wicked. Of course, some of you guys remember the song, better is one day in the court of the house or of God. Folks, without God's presence, we cannot do anything. Without God's presence, we are vulnerable. Let's go back to the Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, verse 4. And when the people heard the bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornament. Note the word ornament, please. For the Lord has said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornament by the Mount Horeb. This ornament that we already have seen is from the heathen culture. They've been living in the Egyptian culture for 400 years. And majority of people, the earrings, the necklace, kind of represent their idea of their religion. However, nowadays that doesn't mean a thing. A lot of people have a crucifix on their neck or even the earring. That doesn't mean a thing. That does not represent that person is a born-again Christian. And you may say, why you say that? Good example is have you ever heard the name the Megadeth? Megadeth? Band name? They are extremely vulgar and they are almost satanic group. They wear crucifix. How about Madonna? Need I to say more about her? The reason why she is, somebody asked, are you a Christian? And she said, no, the reason why I'm wearing this crucifix is because sexy naked man is hanging on the tree. That's the concept of hers. The reason why God said strip off those ornaments because they are symbolizing hidden culture. Now, when the people heard that God would not go with them, they humbled themselves and moaned. It's one thing to moan because of God's discipline of our sins, and it's quite something else to moan because of God's distance resulting of our pride. So because of our pride, God can say, you want to be your way? You want to have your way? Have your way. I'm staying away from you. That's not a good thing. Let's go to Exodus 33, verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp and far from the camp, and called the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting. Note the word, went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. Would you underline verse 11, please? So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. He would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, son of Nun, young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Few things we must notice is that first discipline, God's discipline against the Israeli people was a mass death. Remember I told you, and we studied the last week. After they worshiped this golden calf, the idolatry worship, God allowed the Levites to destroy the 3,000 people who got involved in this idolatrous worship. That was the first discipline from God. Second discipline came when God told them he will not go with the Israeli people to the promised land, his refusal to be with them. Third judgment, the discipline came to them when Moses picked up his tent and took it outside of camp and set it out there and called it Tabernacle of the Meeting. This clarified that God is saying that I'm no longer within your camp. I'm outside of your camp. My presence is no longer with you. This distance made them to humble themselves and turn to God. Some people, when the God walked away from them, and God kept his distance away from the people, they don't even realize. They just go on their day-to-day living. And actually, they could have cared less about God's presence in their lives. I'm going to talk more about this thing a little later. Moses took his tent outside the camp. That means as we just read, those who want to worship God had to get out of their tent and literally make an effort to go to the Moses' tent to worship God there. Folks, by making place outside the camp, he clearly drew the line. If you want to worship God, make an effort. When the Holy Spirit of God begins to deal with any one of us, there will be a clear separation. It will not be a parade, and then somebody can say that I'm holier than thou, and that attitude, that kind of stuck-up attitude will not go on. Once the man began to be burdened for the glory of God, the state of the church, and he immediately felt the call of the consecration. Separating himself away from the bad things, away from the worldly things. And he goes out of his comfort zone into God's zone. Every one of us, as close to God, as he has chosen to be. Let me put it this way. If you feel that you are not close to God, it's by your choice. If I feel that I'm not walking with God, it's by my choice. You may think that, are you telling me that I'm walking away from God? I don't know your mind state. But you have to ask yourself, what you've been doing? When was the last time you've been seeking God? You have to answer to yourself. Many people would just come up with just about any excuse not to go to church. Isn't that correct? And they say, well, my cat is having a headache. I think I should stay with that cat and take care of her. Or they might say, well, I think they're going to have a rain in Seattle. It might come down before noon. Or this is the all-time best excuse for all the guys, the majority guys. Well, there's a great college football game on TV this morning. Well, tape it. Record it. What is more important to you, God or college football game? Whatever that is, priority makes a difference. If the God comes to your first priority, that's the one whom you worship. If something else comes to your priority, that's the one you're worshiping. So are you involved in idolatry? I don't know. Well, I have to ask myself. Gun, computer, which one is more important? God or computer or guns? We all have a little neck that we enjoy. God comes first. God comes before your spouse. God comes before your kids. God comes before your job. God comes before your ministry. In my opinion, verse 11, let's go back to verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That is such a neat verse. In my opinion, it's one of the most intimate verses you will ever find in the entire Bible. However, there's the opposite verse that you will find in Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Verse 20. This is Samson's case. Judges 16:20. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep. That is Delilah telling Samson. And Samson woke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." Next line is very important. But he did not know that the Lord has departed from him. Folks, once we start to walk away from God, we become so careless we don't even realize the Spirit of God lives. Once we become a born-again Christian, yes, Holy Spirit resides in us. When Holy Spirit reminds us, don't do that kind of thing. If we continue to disobey God, we become callous. We no longer hear the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. I hope you are not one of them. Let's go back to this 33, verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up these people.' But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name.' You have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray that if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." He said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separated. Your people and I, from all the people who are upon the great face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do these things that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and know you by name." Moses asked for God's grace and mercy to bless these people, Israeli people, even though they sin against God, and God's presence to go with them. And of course, God extended his grace and mercy to these people again and again. After all, it was the glorious presence, God's presence, that made a difference them from other people. Other nations had a law, other nations had a priest, other nations had a sacrifice, but they did not have one true God. The Israeli people had one true God. Folks, let me put it in our term. Born-again Christians that we are, we have a difference than the other people, the cults or occults. They don't have one true God who lives in their heart. We do. We should act different. We should know the difference. God's presence is not the breathtaking in waterfall, nor is in beautiful, serene, tropical island, or in the majestic mountain peaks. God's presence is wherever, whenever His people seek with all of their heart and with all their minds. One of the ways to encounter God, our God, is in a special way is participating in a woman's retreat that's going to happen in next September or in January, mini retreat, and men's conference in November next year. For 3 days, you will be submerging yourself into the Word of God and the fellowship with the brothers and sisters. I highly recommend. That will be the time where you can really enjoy His presence. That doesn't mean that you cannot have His presence any other time. You can have His presence in the midst of a 50,000 people's stadium if you choose to. You can have His presence right in smack dab in the middle of the construction site. You can do that in your home. When the five ankle biters are crying at you, you can still have that His presence with you. I think we just throw the kid against the wall. Verse 18. And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have a compassion on whom I will have a compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be that while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hands, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Of course, the great hymn writer, Fanny Crosby, wrote a hymn from this particular chapter. It says, "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of a rock where the rivers of the pleasure I see. He hides my soul in the cleft of a rock where the shadow of a dry thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of His love. He covers me there with His hand and covers me with there with His hand." Can you see how gentle our God is? He put Moses in the cleft of the rock and covers him with his hand so he doesn't die and pass by him. And you may say, does God have a back? This is a human way of speaking. What would be this back? It's kind of afterglow. His glory passed by and there's a lingering glory still remain. And that's what Moses saw. This hunger for more of God is a mark of true revival and repentance and restoration of the relationship. Whatever that Moses had experienced with God, now he wanted more than ever before. We may have been a Christian for many years, but have you ever really yearning for His presence in your life? And if you did before, why not continue? Why would a born-again Christian settle for anything less than the most intimate relationship with God? If you do, you're cheating yourself. Because by our own selfishness and shallow, immature heart toward God. Because we want what we want instead of what God wants. If we don't have His presence in our lives day to day, if He's not walking with where we're walking, we have to ask ourselves, why is that I'm not having His presence here in my life? It's not because God left. God is with us. We are the one who choose to walk away from God. God is not trying to ruin somebody's fun. But God is trying to give something far more than what we possibly imagine beyond our physical and earthly pleasure. I got saved in 1987, January 1987. When I got saved, don't close the Bible yet because I'm not done with you. Open it back up. When I got saved, I was seeking the Lord, you know, typical newborn Christian zeal. And one day, while I was praying and seeking Him, I had this earnest desire to know Him more. So I fell on my face and was crying out to God, "Help me know You more, God." And He spoke to me literally in my heart. It was not a voice, the audible voice, but it was in my heart. I heard Him clearly. He said, "Read my word." He didn't say, "Go to the Dallas Seminary." He didn't say, "Go to Calvary Chapel Bible College." Or He didn't say, "Listen to the Pastor Chuck Swindoll or Pastor Chuck Smith's teaching tapes." But He said, "Read my word." Folks, you don't know how to get to know Him? Read the word. Day to day. Every day. That's why we hand out our daily bread to you, to help you with that intimate time with Him. Without getting to know Him, you cannot have His presence in your life. If you seek Him with all of your heart, He will be there to be found by you. And you will find a favor in His sight. You will have His grace. You will have His mercy in your heart. As a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that everlasting assurance that He will not leave us nor forsake us. For the non-believers, you don't have that assurance. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't have that. Let's make an application. Number one, without His presence in our lives, we are vulnerable to Satan's attack. We are vulnerable to Satan's attack. Without the Lord, we are literally sitting duck to be hunted down by Satan and his cohorts. Second application, without His presence in our lives, we cannot do anything right. Don't make a mistake about it, please. Without the Holy Spirit in your heart, without the presence around this wall, we are no different than worst criminal they can find in the state penitentiary or federal penitentiary. We might be worse than them. Do you know the difference between them and us? They got caught for what they did. We haven't got caught for what we are thinking. Third application, without His presence in our lives, we would be forever lost. Without God, we would be lost, we would be vulnerable, we cannot do anything right. Let's stand up and pray.